Morning. Thank you all for being here this morning. As a reminder, lest you forget, I love you all. Thankful for you all. The title of our lesson this morning comes from God's holy word, the power may be of God. This morning we're going to look at the power of God and what his holy word mentions to remind us. We have a lot of powerful things in our lives, and for us to be able to rely on him and come back to him, as the songs we've sang this morning, the scriptures we've read this morning, how many of us came to service this morning in a horse and buggy? One horsepower. Nobody, right? And I don't know for sure who has the least amount of horsepower or the most amount of horsepower in their vehicles. Whoever's got the diesel pickup, probably, the Cummins has the power bangers. We think about that, but in our lives, we use a lot of things for power, for encouragement, to enrich us, to give us strength. And when we start relying on things that aren't from God, we become mistaken. And we wonder why we don't feel powerful, we don't feel at peace, we don't feel like things might be all aligned. Sometimes we place emphasis on power that doesn't come from God. The other thing is, I say that, some of us just rely on horse and buggy power instead of that Cummins power, And the world has horse and buggy power, God has Cummins power, okay? That's the difference. It's monumental. And for us to forget about that is dangerous, it's a tragedy. And it is an awakening call for us to a reminder of God's power in our lives. Our scripture this morning says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power of God may be of God and not of us. Not of us. What about you? But I like to rely on numero uno. But I need to rely on in all my decisions and choices in life through the power of God. Well, what is the power of God? Is it what Hollywood shows us? Is it what we've learned from mom and dad? Is it what we learned from the world? Well, we better look to Jesus. See what he says. In Mark chapter 12, it is written, therefore, in the resurrection, when they arise, whose wife will she be? For all seven had her as wife. And Jesus answered and said to them, are you not therefore mistaken? Because you do not know the scriptures, nor the power of God. For when they rise from the dead, they neither marry or given in marriage, but are like angels in heaven. But concerning the dead, that they rise, have you not read in the book of Moses? In the burning bush passage, how God spoke to him, saying, I am the God of Abraham, God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He is not the God of the dead, but the God of the living. Therefore, you are greatly mistaken. Jesus asked the question about, hypothetical question, how many of us get asked hypothetical questions in our life all the time? How many of us actually ask hypothetical questions within our hearts and our minds? Okay, we do that. But they asked Jesus about it. And here's what Jesus said. Go to the scriptures, the power of God. You're asking me questions that are irrelevant. You're asking me questions, potentially, that have no validity, okay? You also don't know what the kingdom of heaven is all about. Peace, love, joy, forgiveness, kindness, gentleness, meekness. Folks, there's times in my life when I forget about those things and I act out in a way that's not representative of the kingdom of heaven. Thanks be to God that we have His holy word to bring us back to home base, bring us back to His power, to remind us that the power is in His word and in His scriptures. Not only has it been since Jesus here, but Jesus said way back when, God's always told you the truth. God's always let you guys know what heaven is all about. I'm the God of the living, not the God of the dead. You know, so many of us, our perspective of the afterlife, of eternal life, is what we've learned from Hollywood. And probably 99% of what we get from Hollywood in the kingdom of heaven and the afterlife is inaccurate. It's inaccurate. It is not the truth. We need to make sure that we're looking towards God for those things. As we've studied in the last month or two, straight is gate, narrow is the way. World wants us to believe everybody gets there. It's just, you know, how you get there is a different way. That's not what Jesus said. That's not what God's word says. God has always promised to the faithful since the beginning of time. In Acts chapter 10, it is written, "Then Peter opened his mouth and said, 'In truth I perceive that God shows no partiality. But in every nation, whoever fears Him and works righteousness is accepted by Him. The word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, He is the Lord of all. That word you know, which was proclaimed throughout all Judea, and began from Galilee after the baptism from which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him.'" I bring this passage up, obviously, to remind us that Jesus was filled with the Spirit and with power. But I ask us this question, look at this passage this morning. What did Jesus do when the power of God and the Holy Spirit was working in His life? He went about doing good and healing. Doing good and healing. He didn't use it to rise to political power. He didn't use it to say, "Look at me." He didn't use it for any other earthly means. He used it for heavenly means. Spiritual means, not physical or fleshly means. He went about doing good and healing all people. Romans chapter 1, it is written, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, 'The just shall live by faith.' For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifest in them. For God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse, because though they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their own thoughts, and their foolish hearts were dark." The power of God unto salvation, which is also eternal power. Where's that at? Eternal power. I didn't highlight it. I meant to and I forgot.
The power of God unto salvation.
The good news of Jesus. The book of love. The instruction book on how to be happy and live forever. I've done a lot of things in my life that I'm ashamed of. Maybe I'm the only one here. You know? But I am not ashamed that I came to know Jesus and that He works in my heart. Do I still make mistakes? Yes. Do I still sometimes say things that I wish I had never said that I could take back? Yes. So I'm ashamed of myself sometimes. And we need to be cautious we don't confuse the two. Because being ashamed of ourselves and guilt, if we don't take care of it and deal with it, continues us to turn away from the power of God and not accept His help and His grace and His mercy and His love and His forgiveness. We mentioned it many times where people make mistakes and never come back. They make mistakes and give up. And the good news is, He's always there. He pleads with us never to give up. He tells us you're going to sin, but He tells us never to give up. He also tells us, let your heart not be hardened. Open your heart to the way, the truth, and the life, to the power that's unto salvation from God. 1 Corinthians, it is written, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. For Jews request a sign, and Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block, and to the Greeks foolishness. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. Having trust and faith in God, that He is all-knowing and all-powerful. If God gave me the choice, you can save the world, Don. Jesus has already done it, okay? So I don't have to make that choice. But if He asked me to give my only begotten sons, one of my sons, I'll say that, I would say one of my sons. No way. No way. But God said, that's how I want to prove to you guys I love you. I'm going to give my only begotten son the power to lay down his life and to take it back up again. The power to raise him from the dead. The power to show him that he has power to bring us back to eternal life. So we do have that hope. We do have that promise. We do have that confirmation that Christ is the power of God and is the wisdom of God. He is the way, the life, and the truth. You know, it's unique here. This passage of Scripture doesn't say earthly wisdom is wrong. It doesn't say that requesting a sign is wrong, but it says you need to look for the right wisdom. You need to look for the right signs. And those came through Jesus and through God's holy word. It's unique for us in our world with all our information, okay, all our electronic devices, you know, everything that we have technology-wise today that we know and understand still doesn't compare to the power of God or help us other than, you know, using it for this purpose. I guess, how many of us have ever told a kid you're a little bit too smart for your britches? Big for your britches, smart for your britches. Does God ever potentially bring that to our hearts as his children? Don't get too big for your britches. Don't get too smart and wise. He wants us to use our talents and be successful. This life is a gift. This earth is beautiful, wonderfully made. And we are each individually wonderfully made by him. But to be cautious not to get too smart for our britches. To humble ourselves. To remember that Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. 1 Corinthians, it is written, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages of our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew. For had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." Once again, it doesn't say, don't look at wisdom of men. Don't think about wisdom of men. Don't learn of wisdom of men. It says, don't put your faith in those things. Don't put your hope in those things. If they had known that, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. You know what's unique? We think of Paul when he's speaking to the Corinthians here in his letter. Paul was... I always think of Paul as the best speaker of all the apostles. He was the learned, most learned one, most educated according to their world, at least the Jewish world. And he was even educated within the Greeks, because when he went to Rome, he spoke very eloquently to them and understood their culture. But he considers himself weak, unlearned, fear, much trembling. And he says, your faith should be in Jesus, the power of God, not me. I plead with you this morning that your faith would be in Jesus and in God and not in me. I'm a Michigan hillbilly. Second Corinthians, it is written, this will be the third time I am coming to you. By the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word shall be established. I have told you before, and I tell as if I were present a second time, and now being present, I write to those who have sinned before and to all the rest, that if I come again, I will not spare, since you seek a proof of Christ speaking in me, who is not weak toward you, but mighty in you. For though he was crucified in weakness, yet he lives by the power of God. For we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God toward you. Examine yourselves as whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you? Unless indeed you are disqualified. But I trust that you will know that you are not disqualified. This passage of scripture is humbling to me because Jesus endured so much here. He had the power to tell everybody what he thought. And yet, he was humble and loving and kind. I don't know about you, but I need that type of example in my life. I see it sometimes in politicians. I see it in my family members. I see it in you, brothers and sisters in Christ. I see it in co-workers sometimes. But I'll always see it in Jesus. We shall live with him by the power of God. With him. A couple quick passages. 2 Timothy, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. You know what's unique? All three of those are the same. When you think you got a sound mind and you can't love, but you don't have the power of God working through you, guess what? I'm going to be a lover of everything, but I'm not going to have a sound mind and I'm not going to rely on the power of God. I'm going to walk my own way, do my own steps. God's word does not leave us null and void. It gives us a comprehension, comprehensive understanding, power and love and of a sound mind. Power of God working in your heart means you're going to be loving. And once you get to that point, you can really be at peace and have a sound mind. Second Peter is written, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as his divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which we have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. I got an opportunity yesterday to speak to one of our state representatives. We talked about a bunch of different political stuff. And he said to me, we can write all the laws we want, but it doesn't change people's hearts. This is one of Indiana's state representatives. Said this yesterday. I'm like, he gets it. He's a person of faith. He gets it. Folks, don't give up hope in this world. There are good people there in this world. There are good people doing good things. Be hopeful. We are what? Faith, hope, and love. Greatest of these is love. Obviously, we talk about hope of heaven, hope of all those things, but still, hope in people. Don't give up. I wish I lived in the good old days. Do you want to go back to horse and buggy? No, I'm just kidding. You ask anybody if they want to go back to horse and buggy. No. How many of you want to go back to, rotary dial phones? Those of you that know what they are. God has given us, each and every one of us, the good old days now. It's what we make of them. It's what we see. We see it through the eyes of God, the power of God, or we see it through the power of Satan. or eyes of unrighteousness or negativism. I plead with us to see things in hope and in positivity, and to recognize that it's the power of God that changes people's hearts, not the laws of the land. We hope the laws of the land are based in God's truth and word. Don't get me wrong. I'll just give you an example. Tom and Brad can come up as our elders and make up a whole bunch more rules and regulations. And I guarantee not all of us would agree with them. Some of us might even speak out about them. When God gives us rules and regulations, brothers and sisters and friends, you can ask Him why. But they are the same yesterday, today, and forever. His power is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The way to salvation is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And in the last passage this morning, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not resist against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers and against rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith with which you have been able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. God just doesn't say, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. He says, do it this way. Keep the truth with you. Be righteous. Have righteousness. Have peace. Have the good news. Have love. Be faithful. Don't lose your faith when things come your way. Remember that you're going to live forever in your salvation. Remember, your sword is God's word. Don't forget to ask God for help, because He's always there ready to help you in prayer. And we remember the power may be of God this morning. It is of God. It is there. It's ready for you to use in your life. You have to grab hold of it. You have to believe in it. You have to walk by faith. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power of God may be of God and not of us. Do you know the scriptures, nor the power of God? God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God and salvation. Message of the cross is to us who are being saved. It is the power of God. Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. Your faith should be in the power of God. For though He was crucified in weakness, yet He lives in the power of God. For we also are weak in Him, but we shall live with Him by the power of God. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. If you haven't given your life to Jesus, if you're not sure about your hope of eternal life, or there's anything that we can help you with here, prayers of congregation or help in any way, we invite you to do so at this time as we stand. Let's sing a selected hymn this morning.